With Pentecost, we come to the conclusion of the Paschal season, that 90 days, 40 days of Easter and 40 days of Lent and 50 days of Easter. And this is a kind of a story of recreation, new creation. In the first creation, it happened in a week. 6 days of creation, 1 day of rest. This is 50 days is a week of weeks. 7 times 7 is 49, plus Sunday is 50. And so it's the perfect number 7 multiplied by the perfect number 7 plus 1 for good measure. In other words, it's eternity. This is the new day on which the sun never sets. It lasts forever. And it doesn't need the sun or the moon to light it at day or night, because it's always day. God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. We heard that in the book of Revelation about 3 weeks ago as one of our readings during Mass. So in this new creation, this is the creation of grace. The old creation was of sin and death, where everything ended in death. This is the new creation where it never ends. There is no death. So when Christ rises from the dead, he destroys death forever. And yes, our heart is going to stop and our brain is going to die, but that's not an eternal death. That's just a partial death. And we will rise again on the last day. And so this season is filled with hope. It's brought to its completion in Pentecost, but not completion in the sense of an end, completion in the sense of a beginning, that finally everything is fulfilled and it begins to spin off on God's way of existing, which is eternal. So one of the things that characterizes this resurrected life is unity. So in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we see that there are these people from all over the world: Parthians, Medes, Romans, Arabs, Cretans, people from Turkey. In other words, all of that, and remember that Luke is writing the Acts of the Apostles after all of those places have been converted by Paul and Barnabas and others. So in other words, he's listing all of the places where the church already is. And it's the opposite, in a way, from what the Jews always thought in the Old Testament. Their idea of unity of all humankind is that everyone would become Jews, and everyone from all the different places would come to one place, Jerusalem, and they would worship the one God. And that was a kind of a nice universalist idea, but it's a little narrow-minded when you think about it. They're all going to become like us because we're the ones, you know. But in the New Testament, it's the opposite. They don't come to the gospel. The gospel is brought to them. And they don't have to learn the Jewish language because they understand it by the power of the Spirit when Peter and the others are speaking it. This is true universalism. This is God extending God's grace through the power of the Spirit to the whole human race and indeed to all of creation. So what is the source of this unity? Well, the source of the unity, of course, is the Spirit. We are all one body. We have many parts. And just like in the body, and this is our second reading, there are different parts that do different functions, but they all somehow work together and form one body. They all drink of the same Spirit. There are many different gifts, but one Lord. So that's that unity expressed in Pauline language. But in the gospel, there's another insight to unity, and that is forgiveness. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. This is after breathing the Holy Spirit on them. So the Spirit is the Spirit of reconciliation. It's the Spirit of forgiveness. Now, every religion, at least practically all of them, speak about the forgiveness of God, that God is merciful. I think all religions in some way say that. God is mercy. But in Christianity, there's a horizontal kind of mercy that isn't spoken of quite as eloquently in any other religion. The only prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples is the Our Father. And in that prayer is a line, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those of others." And in Matthew's gospel, after Jesus gives them that prayer, Jesus keeps on talking and he says, if you don't forgive each other, God is not going to forgive you. That somehow divine mercy is dependent upon human mercy. This horizontal forgiveness is the breath of the Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. It's a sacramental kind of forgiveness. It's in the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, obviously, where the priest is in persona Christi. You know, he's in the person of Christ. But he's also in the person of the church, Christ's body. And so he is forgiving vertically. He's offering God's forgiveness, but he's also offering the reconciliation and the peace of the church. It's horizontal too. Now, this is idealistic language. This is kingdom language. That we would all be one. And that we would all reconcile with one another. That we wouldn't hold grudges. That we'd be quick to forgive. That we would forgive those who trespass against us. We would love not just our neighbor, but our enemies. We would love those who persecute us. We would turn the other cheek. We would take the last place. You know, all this kingdom kind of language. And most of the time in our lives, we feel a little inadequate to that kind of language. It's like, that sounds great, but I don't know if I can do that. But it's a sacrament. All Christian life is a sacrament of the coming kingdom. We know that all of this is not realized fully yet. That waits until the end of time, when eternity really kicks into full gear. But already, sacramentally, we can experience that. We dive into, we immerse ourselves into that mystery of forgiveness that perhaps we don't feel adequate to, perhaps we don't always understand it, but we eat it and we drink it. This is the sacrament of reconciliation here at the altar. God gives his life for us. And from the cross says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. It's all about forgiveness. And Christ experiences the reconciliation with the Father and ushers it into our physical human world. But at the same time, he celebrates totally that horizontal forgiveness as well. And so we live sacramentally what we hope for in the future. Just like this is the heavenly banquet, sacramentally. We're not eating the heavenly banquet in its fullness yet, but already in some precursory way, and sacramentally, we're eating the heavenly banquet when we partake of the Eucharist. Well, full reconciliation, full unity of all humanity is not realized fully yet, but the church is the sacrament of that. It's the sign that that's possible. It's the hope that somehow, miraculously, through grace, reconciliation is going to happen in ways from God that we humans can't accomplish on our own.